Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12. Remember, Ecclesiastes is towards the middle of your Bible. It's in what we call the poetical books, dealing with the hard issues of life. The poetical books would be Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Then we come to the book of, after that, Ecclesiastes. So notice with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, and to the very last chapter, chapter number 12. We're in a series of things that every Christian ought to know. There are certain things that every Christian needs to know, certain things that every Christian needs to prepare for. And in today, we're speaking about an important thing of that Christians need to prepare for their day of departure. If you don't mind, notice with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12, towards the middle of your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Why the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars cannot be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day where the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And with this, we could see a very poetical picture speaking about death and approaching death. And we understand when we think about these things that we must prepare for our day of departure. Now, we've explained before that Jesus Christ is coming back. We call the return of Jesus Christ our blessed hope, that we know that it's going to be a day of rapture, a day of resurrection, a day where we get a brand new body, a day of reunion. And we look forward to those times. But we have to prepare for that end, that the time that we have on this earth is very, very few, and the days that we have left, we need to use wisely because we don't have as many left as we would like to think we would. As we approach this, what we see here is a poetical sermon picturing the idea of life. Now, if you don't mind, may I kind of catch you up on context? The book of Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon towards the end of his life. Towards the end of his life, he's taking a turnabout and look about his life, evaluating what he has done and what has happened. And for the last several years, he has lived his life without regard to God. And as he's looking back in his life and he says, vanity, vanity, the word vanity means empty. So empty, empty, all is empty. Then it uses another phrase repeatedly through the book of Ecclesiastes, that under the sun. And the phrase under the sun carries the idea that living our life without regard to God. So when we live our life without regard to God, it is empty, empty. Now, as King Solomon is coming towards the end, he's an old man himself. He's thinking about life and how short it is. And he's looking about how much time that he has wasted. And he's looking back and said, you know what? I don't have that much time on this earth left. I don't have that much time left. I need to make it count. And so if you don't mind, let's examine this as we see the poetical language speaking about getting old. And getting old is going to happen to us all. Notice, if you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to show you in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is the potential of the present. The potential of the present. Notice with me in verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. What we see here is that there's some things that need to be done now and can only be done now. While there's light and life, we are to do what God desires us to do. That's the potential of the present. Don't plan on serving God later. Serve Him now. None of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed later. Now is the time to serve Him. Now is the potential God has given to us. He has given to us this great day. Many people miss the golden moment that God gives them to live. Christ says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't waste your todays worrying about your tomorrows. There's potential to live your life today, to present your life today as a sacrifice to God, giving it to Him and say, God, I want to use it for Him. If you think about this, that if you keep putting off and putting off and putting off, pretty soon you'll use up all the days that you have left. You use them all up and they're going to be wasted. The one thing about time is that once you use it, you don't get it back. Imagine, if you don't mind, every single one of us was given $24,000 a day to use. What could you do with $24,000 a day? Think you could use it for something? You know, $24,000 a day, and the deal is that tomorrow you get another $24,000. That sounds like a good deal. The thing is that anything that you do not use with the $24,000 by the end of the day, we take back the rest of it, and tomorrow you get your brand new set of $24,000. So think about that. So you got $24,000. What would you invest it in? What would you do with it? How would you use it? Would you just let it sit there knowing that at the end of the day, when it's gone, it's gone? Well, I get a new one tomorrow. Well, that's fine. That's a whole new set, but you could have used what you had today. Well, we have something more precious than $24,000. We have 24 hours. Each hour is precious and valuable. Each hour should be used for the Lord. That any hour that we waste, that we ignore, that we do nothing with, is wasted time, something more valuable than money. We don't have any time to waste. Every day we get another set of 24 hours to use. Now, of course, we use some of that to rest. But what do you do with the rest of it? Do you waste it? Think about what you did yesterday. Some of you build gazebos. Didn't waste it. You were using it properly. But think about our days. Is there times that we just sit there and just let it blow by? Let the little box in the TV steal it away? What do we do with the time that we have? To use it wisely. If you don't mind, let's see in this poetical language. We do have the potential of the present. But notice what it says about the passing of our years. In verse number 3 through 5, you'll find nowhere in literary literature an allegory on aging that compares to what God has given to us. You could study all the literature, but to give an allegory, a picture about aging, nothing is more clear than this. Notice, if you don't mind, as it gives this in verse number 3. It says, in the day where the keepers of the house will tremble. This poetical language carries the idea, the keepers of the house are our hands. And that once they were steady, but now, as you get older, they begin to tremble a little bit more. You find that as some of you who are getting a little bit older, that your hands are a little bit less stable. They're a little bit more shaky. Here's what it's speaking about, that the keepers of our house, as the years pass, our hands, once strong and steady, begin to tremble a little bit. The keepers of the house. Notice this as it goes on in verse 3. In the day where the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men speak about, in poetical language, our legs. Our legs. Our legs here, it says, they bow themselves. They begin to weaken with age. That is, you get older, your legs become a little bit less reliable. They don't hold you up the weight they used to. You have to steady yourself a little bit more. Showers can be some of the dangerous places, you know, just because your legs aren't as stable anymore. That's part of aging, is that your hands are no longer strong and steady. Your legs begin to weaken and to bow. Some of you probably could relate quite a bit about this, thinking about the legs and the hands. Notice as it goes on in verse 3. In the days where the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they're few. Here, you guys would be interactive. When it talks about the grinders cease because they're few, what do you think about the grinders? Right? So the strong, what was that? No, not labors. Talking about your physical body. Yeah. No. Your teeth. Grinders. The grinders don't work because they're too few. Now, of course, we have better dental work, but, you know, when you start losing your grinders, it makes it hard to chew. That's part of growing old, is sometimes the teeth fall out. The teeth don't work. You can't enjoy the nice steak anymore. You have to grind it up and make it into a shake or something sometimes with the grinders. Notice, in the day where the keepers of the house shall tremble, the hands, the strong men, those legs bow themselves, the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. What does it speak about here when the windows are darkened? What do you think? When you get older, what begins to darken? What windows? The eyes, your eyesight. So your eyes begin to darken. It begins to be harder to see. You can see the darkness more clearly. You just can't see in the darkness more clearly. You can see something's dark, but you can't see what's in it. It becomes dark and it becomes harder to see. The frustrating thing is that your eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. You have a hard time seeing things and where things are at. And so this is part of growing old, is that you see these things. The hands, the legs, the grinders, the windows, notice verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. Here, when it's talking about the doors are shut, what do you think about this when it says the sound of the grinders is low? The ears, very good. So the ears, so you stop hearing as well. Your hearing starts to go. That's why you look at people and go, what? What? Or sometimes you just smile and nod and have no clue what they're saying, but you're trying to look like, yeah, I understand, sure, yep. Here, it's starting to be where your ears don't work. Isn't this starting to be kind of a poetical, clear picture of getting old here? The hands start shaking. The legs begin to bow. The grinders cease because they're few. The windows become darkened. The doors begin to be shut. Notice, and he that riseth up at the voice of the bird. Here we see something here, rising up at the voice of the bird. An indicator of old age is not being able to sleep well. Well, the birds start singing, you're up. You just can't sleep. It's part of that old age is... you're up. Oh, there. You're not sleeping well. Some of you who are a little bit senior, you probably could relate to that, not sleeping as well and being up in times that you should be sleeping or think that you should be sleeping and not getting that rest that you need. Notice this as it goes on. Verse number 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinders is low. He that shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. All right? So what we see here is that older people start to get afraid of heights a little bit more. Kids, man, you give them a nice roller coaster, whee, and go up and down. Old people don't like that as much. They kind of get past that. We don't like the heights. Get up on a ladder and, you know, we're kid. When you were younger, I'd have no problem climbing up there. Up on the roof, yeah. Old people, nope, not going to happen. You relate to that? That you start to not like heights as often. Let's just stay low to the ground and stay where we go. There's more of a fear of heights, an anxiety of heights. and not going to the moon. Verse number 5. And they which shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fears shall be in the way. This carries the idea that we become much more cautious about safety as we're older. The fear in the way. You start to think of, you know, maybe that's not the best thing to do. As a kid, young man, teenager, 20-year-old, you're invincible. You could do everything. You speed. You do donuts in the parking lot. You drive crazy. You take more chances. Older folks, nope. Be a little bit more cautious. Because one thing is that when we fall down, I say we, I'm getting older too, it takes a lot longer to get back up. If something happens to us, it takes a lot longer to heal. A broken rib for a teenager, which got teenagers in this class, nothing. They'll bounce back pretty soon. They'll tough it out. A broken rib for a senior saint, that's a big deal. It takes a while. A kid gets a cold, they'll work through it. Send them to school, they'll be fine. Older folk get a cold, it takes a lot longer to recover. We've become a lot more cautious because we're a lot more fragile. And there's some things that we just, nope, not going to do that. Just because we know how fragile life is and that caution comes with it. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue on in verse number 5. And they which shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Here it talks about the almond tree. The almond tree has a beautiful silver cord in bearing fruit. So here's an almond tree, and as an almond tree begins to blossom, we don't have a lot of almond trees, but as it begins to blossom, silver cords begin to appear all over the tree. Well, if it's using poetical language and talking about a tree that as it gets older and more mature, it begins to get silver cords, what are we talking about? The hair begins to silver as it becomes to mature. And so that's one of the things about getting older, is that your hair is going to turn gray or fall out, right? One of those two, sometimes both. How many of you don't have the head of hair that you had when you were 20? It just begins to change. It becomes thinner, it turns gray, turns in, turns out, all those other things. That's part of maturing. Part of getting older is that things you got to deal with. You start looking at your sink and said, I could use what's in that sink on my head. Start seeing it fall apart. I heard a guy who was balding, and he looked at someone brushing his hair and said, don't brush so hard. Please don't. You need that. Notice as it goes on, using this poetical language, it says, and they which shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. The mourners in the street, they would actually have people whose job it was to cry during when someone died. So we don't have that today, but they had people that were professional criers. So let's say that someone in our church passed away, that the family members would hire people to publicly cry and wail and mourn about someone dying. I know there's some ladies there that probably make a lot of money because they could cry on impact, right? You just give them a chance, they'll start crying. And so they cry out in the streets, and they're crying, making a public scene to let people know that so-and-so died and that they're mourning and they're weeping. We don't have that today, but this is carrying the idea that mourners would cry in the streets when someone's going to die, and that we need to see the passing of our years in order to see the time that we have needs to count for the Lord. The older you get, the more that you realize how short of a time that you really have. That as you get older, you're no longer looking at 50, 60 years left. You're looking at the end of the timeline. What are you going to do with that years that you have left? What are you going to do with that time that you have left? We don't have time to mess around. We don't have time to let it waste. Now, we have time to enjoy our families. That's something we should do. We should be good citizens while we're here. But we have time that needs to be used because it's going to soon be blown away. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 6, we see a third thing. The preparation for eternity. The preparation for eternity. Notice with me in verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. Here, the silver cord, it carries the idea that we're going to, that cord that holds us to this life, it's going to be cut. Notice it gives more poetical language with that same idea. The golden bowl be broken. All right, your life's in a bowl and it gets dropped, it's broken, it's gone. It goes away. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. The will be broken at the cistern. We understand that there's coming a day where that silver cord will be loosed and we'll go to meet God. We need to prepare because the time that we have left, we need to use it knowing that we're going to stand before God and give an account. Every single one of us are going to give an account to the Lord for what we did in our life, how we used our time for the Lord, how we used our actions for the Lord. What did we do for the Lord? The greatest thing that we could do is to give our lives to God now. Realize the potential of the present. Recognize that the years that we have are passing quickly. We need to prepare for eternity by giving our life to God. Do you understand that older folks have been used in the Bible? For example, how old was Moses when God sent him to the children of Israel? Anybody remember how old Moses was when he first went to the children of Israel? No. 80 years. He was 80 years old. He was 80 years old when God said, I want you to go be the leader of them. At 80, how long did he lead the people? Murmuring, complaining, ungrateful people. 40 years. So how old was he when he died? 120. Do you think Moses, when he was 80 years old, thought that he had another 40 in him to go do all this stuff? Probably not. He was just obeying God. Said, God, all right, whatever time I have left, I'm going to give it to you. And God extended his time and extended his time and extended his time and extended his time. How old was Caleb when he went to Joshua and said, Joshua, I want that mountain. I know there's giants on it, but you go ahead and give it to me and I'll go take care of those giants. How old was he? Anybody remember? He was 120 or 110, somewhere around there. He said, I have enough strength. I feel like a 20-year-old. I could go take them. And he did. He went to go beat up giants when he was 110. You understand, there's many people who are used of God in a special way in their older years. You could go through and look. Of course, we know Abraham was 100 years old when he had Isaac. He was about 130 years old when he took Isaac to Mount Moriah. There was many people who were used in their aged years to help and to be a help to the ministry. You go throughout all the Bible and you could find these senior saints that as long as you have life, you could use it for the Lord. We may not be able to go knock 1,000 doors. You may not be able to do as much as a 20-year-old or the same things as a 20-year-old, but everyone could do something. That we need to use the time that we have wisely. You know, it's humbling to think that we don't have that much time left. Of course, many of you understand that in my office, I have three jars. I have a jar with approximately, with a number of beads with approximately how many I think I days I have left. Because we know that it's not the amount of time that we have, it's what we do with the days that we have that counts. So each day we're supposed to use wisely. Next to it, I have a jar that's blue that's called wise. And next to it, a red jar that means wasted. And every day I take one of those beads and I put it into a jar of wasted or wise. And it starts to add up. Am I using my time wisely? Am I wasting my days? Knowing that I only have a few days left. Every day that I take out of that middle jar is a day that I can never have back. It's one more day that's taken out of the pot that maybe I have left. One more day that's gone. That's why the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalm 90, verse 12, by the way, which was written by Moses when he's close to 100 and something years old. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There was a radio preacher by the name of J. Vernon McGee. He was a great preacher of yesteryear. But he was told that he was dying of cancer and that he had only a few days left. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm on the radio. What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the Bible. I'm going to start through Genesis, and I'm going to go all the way to the book of Revelation. As long as I have left, I don't know how long I have, I'm just going to go through it. And so he says, every day he took the Bible and started at Genesis, took a chapter or two, and just walked through the entire Bible. Every day. He was on the radio every day. It took him about 3 to 5 years to finally get through the Bible. He thought he was going to be dead. He was given like 6 months to live. Three to five years later, he finished the Bible. And he says, well, you know what? The people still say I have cancer and I'm still going to die. I'm going to go through it again. If I remember my history right, he went through the Bible 5 times on the radio with a death sentence that he only had 6 months to live. God extended his life because he chose to use it wisely. J. Vernon McGee has great commentaries on the Bible because he said, the doctors give me about 6 months to live. I'm going to make my days that I have left count. And God extended his days because he kept using God or living in for the Lord and giving him the health and life and strength that he needs. Isn't that amazing to think about? That we need to use our time wisely. Now, we've been speaking to the senior saints. For the young people, you have less time than what you think. If you talk to an adult and they said time goes by so quick, how many of you were not expecting time to go as quickly as you thought it possibly would? I mean, it just was there. It was gone. When you're raising your kids, you say, I got plenty of time. And then you turn around and they're graduating. You said, hey, wait a second. I didn't get time to teach them everything I wanted to teach them. They're gone. It just happened so quick. And then they grow up and then you got grandkids. And now the grandkids get older and you go, what happened? Time goes so fast. And if you're not paying attention, it will pass you by. And those opportunities you had to use that time goes by. And you miss that opportunity. The Bible says to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The Bible here is giving us the picture that age is coming. We get older and more decrepit. Things fall apart. And we know that we're at the end. Now we need to definitely use our time wisely. Verse number 7, then shall dust return to the earth as it was. The spirit shall return to God who gave it. So verse 7, it speaks about the person there got old, he's going to die. His body's going to turn back to dust on the earth. The soul is going back to God who gave us the soul in the first place. And we're going to stand before God and give an account and explain what we did with our life and why. That we understand this isn't a fun subject to think about, but it's necessary to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.